Man after God's own heart is one who trusts in the Lord, in confidence, and depending always on Him, in His strength, in wisdom. And when we realize, we know we need God's Word to instruct us on these things. There are many times, even in our lives, that we are not even sure of the will of God in us, or the direction that God wants us to do. Many, even in the Bible colleges, when they are near graduation, we still don't know where to serve, as I myself also have experienced that one. And we want to seek some directions from the Lord. We want to seek some of kind of sign or circumstances that may lead us to know this heart of God for me and for my family, for us. Somehow, there are times it's difficult to determine. And we ask leaders, pastors, and elders. They have their desire also. They have their suggestion also. Sometimes they contradict. And so we are in a time where we don't know really where to go. And we pray, we ask God to help us. Well, we are not like the charismatics who seek after visions and dreams. The Lord gives us His Word as our sure guide and sure direction in what to do with our lives as we follow Him according to His own heart. So a man after God's own heart is a man after God's Word. A man who seeks after the instruction from the Word of God. Well, some of you may say, oh, I'm reading God's Word every day in my life, but it's so general. The Bible did not say that I must go to this place, or I must serve in this ministry, or I must do this course, or I must transfer to this school, or I must apply this kind of job, or I must marry this girl, or I must marry this boy. We don't know exactly from the Bible, from the Word of God. It doesn't say here the name of that man or the name of that girl. And we say, oh, how can we know the exact direction of God when we don't see in the Bible the specific instruction that God wants us to take? One thing we can see here from the Word of God, it may be a general decree or an explanation, but we see also God's specific direction for each of our lives. If we are reading God's Word daily, and not just reading it by, you know, you jump here from one book to another, it's okay if you are following a certain devotional where you are told to read this, and there is a theme, a topic of that devotional. You can understand that you can jump from one book, Old Testament, to the New Testament. But it's good also for you to have your daily Bible reading from Genesis to Revelation, where you want to read the whole counsel of God in a year or two, if you can do it in 1 year. And as you go through the Word of God, I believe it is all our experience that we hear the voice of God directing, telling us every day of what we have to do, or sometimes we just realize later, this is what I read this morning. I hope and I pray this is also your experience. And many times, not just many, but most of the time when I read God's Word, it always speaks of something that would really be relevant for me on that day. And it shows God is living, God is abiding with us, God is continually guiding us. And this is expressed in Psalms 19, verses 7 to 14, where we know this is giving us the revelation of God according to His specific revelation in the Word of God written for us. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The law of the Lord. And in this age of hyper-grace, in this age of emphasizing and focusing on grace, where they said, oh, there is no law, no need of the law. The Bible says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The word convert here is to restore. It is not just a law that will convert a sinner to a saint. It is to restore a distressed soul to a rejoicing soul. It is to restore a tired, fatigued soul to one who is encouraged, motivated in the Lord. It is the word, it is the law of God that will give us that restoration in our service, in our devotion to God. Without the law of the Lord, we cannot do it. There is always a failure in our service unto the Lord, even in our individual lives. We need the law of the Lord. This law does not only speak of the Ten Commandments. It is talking about the whole counsel of God. That's why this law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord, these are the words that describe the Word of God, the Bible. So we have here a clear instruction. We need God's Word. We must understand we need God's Word. The law of the Lord is perfect. It will restore our soul. The testimony of the Lord refers to the lives of the saints in the Bible, from Abraham to the last person mentioned in the scriptures. Their lives are testimonies to us. They are sure. The Bible records these lives for us to let us know and make us wise. The word simple here are those foolish people who don't think of God. They are made wise because of the lives of these people. So as you read the life of Abraham until the life of though Paul and others in the New Testament, this will give us the wisdom. The statutes of the Lord are right. The statutes refer to also to God's commandments, just like here in verse 8, God's commandment. And here we see that it can give rejoicing to the heart. It can enlighten our eyes. The word enlighten describes that it can give us fresh understanding and vision and purpose in life. That there are times where we are cast down, we can continue to go on, stand up, and pursue after the work of the Lord. The statutes and commandments of the Lord, they give us rejoicing in the heart, and it can enlighten our eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean. And when we know that we have the fear of the Lord, we have this wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the duty of man, Solomon says. The fear of the Lord is clean, and it can give us a life that would always be under the care of our God, the Almighty. Because we are always fearful of what we are going to do. We are always reverential in everything that we do. We always refer unto Him, and we want to always follow His Word. So this description of the Word of God, the law, the judgments, the testimony, the statutes, the commandments, this shows us how God gives us His written Word for us to be guided and to follow Him. Without the Word of God, we are left without any, you know, posts or sign marks where we are to U-turn or to go right or to go left. We don't have that direction. And today we have Google Maps. We know where to go, even if we are in a foreign country. you're not scared if we don't know the place, even if it's our first time there, because we have Google Maps. And more, there is satellite maps. We can see the 3D picture of the building. We can know that this is the place where we are heading. And we are assured, of course, if you are in the midst of the middle of a forest or whatever, it's quite difficult. But in the cities, there is a clear demarcation, and there is the street name, the name of the building, and you can see the picture of the building in 3D. You are sure that this is the place, the hotel that you are going to stay. This is the place of your friend that you are going to visit. You are not scared to go because you have the map. In our life also, as believers, as we follow God's own heart, we have this map here. And it is clear. It is not just two-dimensional, three-dimensional. It is in all dimensions that we can have confidence. There is the law, there is the testimony, there is the statute, there is the commandment, there is the fear of the Lord, there is the judgments of the Lord. All this in combination will give us the right direction in life. That's why we need God's Word. We really need to be in the Word of God. And I believe all of you are regularly studying and reading God's Word. But let it be that when we read God's Word, we must also see here in this emphasis of the psalmist that it affected his life. Remember, he converts his soul. It made him wise. It made him rejoicing. It made him enlightened. It made him clean. It made him righteous. That means as he read the Word of God, it impacted his life. It affected his life. It changed his life. Not just reading because I want to know these facts and I want to know these figures and I can pass and I can get certificate or I can get a degree. And there are many who just are interested in knowing the facts and figures of the Bible but not applying it in their lives. Sad to say that there are many in the church. If you ask them about this person, this character in the Bible, they can describe the very detail of the life of this person. But if you see their own lives, none of that lesson that he learned is applied to himself. I pray that as we seek after God's own heart, and we study the Bible and we read God's Word, we also pray that the Lord will help us to apply these words into our lives. Just kind of challenge to this group. Last night there was a report, missions report by Reverend Park. For those FABC students, you know Reverend Park Seung-kyu. He is now a missionary in Tanzania, in Africa, BCEA, Bible College of East Africa in Tanzania. And his challenge for the FABC students and the True Lifers was was his word. Just play safe on my own. Mm-hmm. He challenged for the Singaporeans to, you know, be also mission-minded. I know, and I believe, that there are many Singaporeans are really, they give. But according with the hundreds of missionaries in Africa, he said there's only one Singaporean there, and that's Richard James. Now that was his challenge for them, because he desires that there are many who will come and join him in Tanzania. Of course, we don't just go there because there's a need. We just don't go there because we want to prove that You can also go to foreign countries, even in Africa. We just don't go there because there's a burden in the church to help. We go there, of course, because we are after God's own heart. But this is the challenge for everyone, not just for Singaporeans, but for all believers, for all Christians. As we come to know and trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's how we have experienced that great deliverance, salvation, assurance of eternal life from the Lord. Do we have the burden to share it to others? Are we impacted by the words that we have read from His Word or from the Bible that we are to share it and to tell it to others? The Bible explains to us that there is always an impact. And that impact is, of course, for our individual lives, but also it can be seen in how we live and how we desire for others to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not just going to a foreign country, overseas, but here within our midst, in our fellowship, and even here in the nation of or city-state of Singapore. The desire to reach out for them, because that is the desire of God. It's the heart of God for souls to come to be saved. And that is the immediate result of one who is in the Word of God. Now, here in verses 10 and 11, we can see that aside from the perfection of God's Word that we must see, we also here will appreciate that God gives us this profitability when we are in the Word of the Lord. Why we see this profitable? You see in verse 10, the psalmist declared, and this is the Psalm of David, he says here, "More to be desired are they than gold." I cannot also say for myself if really I would choose the Bible with a bar of gold here and the person will come to me. The Bible or this bar of gold? Probably I will choose bar of gold because I can buy a Bible later if I have gold. I mean, while we are here in front of us, whether we have to obey God's Word or our desire for material things, more to be desired are they than gold. Do we exchange God's Word with the material things of this world? Do we exchange God's Word with the fame and the things that we gain from out of this world? The word desire is having that love and that devotion towards the Word of God than the material riches of this world. And so the psalmist described that it is more profitable to have this Word of God rather than these material things, because he says it is something that changes his life, and that change in life is towards perfection, maturity in his life. Not only that it will be more desirable, or it is more desirable than gold, it is also sweeter than honey. Now, pure honey is something really that is really sweet. In other countries, they make some fake honey. And he says that, especially in our own country, we make fake honey. And they say, how do you differentiate fake honey and real honey? Well, I don't know if it is true, but you know, if they put sugar in it, well, always these ants come. But real honey is really, you know, it does not show off any things that would cause to be attracted. It's just sweet by its own. You don't have to add on it. You don't have to put anything in it. It is really sweet. And that is what the psalmist here experienced in the Word of God. Do we really desire the Word of God like a honey that is sweet and can help us to, you know, when we, with honey can have many things to do with our bodies. It can enlighten, it can strengthen, it can give us, you know, if you are tired, it can give you strength. When you are sleepy, you know, you can get a bit of honey for you to be awake. When you are in your cough, he said honey is good, and many things. And this is a kind of treat of medicine during their time that it can cause recovery to as many infirmities or whatever ailments that they have, bodily ailments that they have in those days. And he says here, it is even, the Word of God is even sweeter than this honey that can give me recovery, that can give me strength, that can give me the restoration. It is even more important for me. That's why when we think of God's Word, we have always that desire and hunger and thirst and drive for it, to read and to meditate and apply it in our life. That's why we don't have that heart to read the Word of God, to study it, because we don't understand it to be God's instruction for our personal life. We did not hear God's voice speaking to us. It's just reading other books, it's just reading other novels or whatever books that we read in school, and we study it. And even among us as preachers, sometimes we just go through it and wants to take the lessons out of it in order to share it to others without even thinking of what is this word for me, what this word to do with me, and how can this word or how can this passage change me. It is important for us to really understand that it is a letter for us individually. And when we know that it is for me, we seek God's Holy Spirit to give us understanding. And when we read this, Lord, help me to understand it is what it is. What is the meaning of this word for me? What is the meaning of this passage that I can apply it in my life? And when we do that, that's why we seek after God's own heart. Because the heart of God is written and expressed and is revealed unto us through His Word. There is no other revelation of the heart of God, of the will of God, apart from the Scriptures. There is no other revelation of God's plan and purposes for each one of us and for His people apart from the Bible. So that's why we look to it, we get into it, and we study it, and we want to apply it in our lives, because we want to follow God's own heart. And that is our desire, and that must be our desire. So when we desire to be after God's own heart, be ready to seek after His Word, to study His Word. I know many of you are attending night classes. We thank the Lord that you have this desire. Many of you are always present in your Bible studies, in your fellowship groups where we emphasize the Bible, in our worship services where the centrality of the Bible is there. But please, 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 we must take this word and apply it in our lives. For there are many today who are, as I have mentioned earlier, knowledgeable of the Bible, but they are far from it. They know much about it, but they have not experienced it. especially our young generations, the children of today. When you go to a Sunday school, when you have your VBS, well, they're even, no, they can, they, the moment you start that word of David or Goliath, they can continue on the story perfectly than you, than most of the teachers. These children, they know. But the question is whether they really understand the very meaning of these stories and how it can be applied in their lives. Because there are many today who knows much of the Bible but does not know who God is in their lives. So when we seek after God's own heart, we seek His heart in the Bible, in the Scripture. For it is only in the Scripture can we follow God's heart. If we do this according to our own feelings, according to our own emotions, or according to circumstances, we are not following God's own heart. God's own heart is revealed perfectly in the Scripture. That's why we trust that the Word of God is perfect. Because it reveals His heart. If the heart of God is perfect, it is faithful, it is preserved because it shows us His will for us from eternity, past to eternity, future, then it must be unchangeable. Therefore, we always rely on God's Word. One perfect, inspired, and preserved Word. It is not just because we are in Pandan that we believe this doctrine. It must be in our own hearts that we know God is unchanging, God is eternal, God is perfect, and what He does is also eternal, unchanging, and perfect. And that's why I desire for it is the only perfect source of direction when we seek God's help. And He says in verse 11, moreover, by them is a seventh wand, and in keeping of them there is great reward. There is great reward. We always think of reward as money. We always think of reward as trophy. We always think of reward as medal. We always think of reward as being published in a certain magazine or newspaper. We think always of reward as something material. But the greatest reward, and here the psalmist described the great reward that we can have, is when we are in His Word, when we are one and kept always in the path of God, that we do whatever He desires for us to do in our lives. When we are constantly following Him, when we are constantly doing His will, there is great reward. Because this reward is that contentment, is that joy, is that understanding that we are pleasing God in our lives. This is not just something that would please us. It is something that pleases God. It is something that glorifies Him. And what else is our joy and our gladness and our rejoicing except in God who is being exalted in our lives? That's why it is great reward. And it cannot be replaced by material things. I'm not saying that it is bad to have a high-paying salary or a high-paying job. It is bad if you are a CEO, no. It is not. But this reward must be seen in a spiritual aspect of our lives. For many today would say, gain is godliness. Please don't associate gain with godliness. It is contentment with godliness that is great gain. Not that you have gain and therefore you are blessed because you are, and you think you are godly because you are having two estates or a house here in Singapore and there is a condominium in Johor Bahru and you have also a house in Australia and you have also one in UK, and because you have all these gains, well, you are a godly person because God blessed you. And I know God blesses me. I have done good to Him. No, it is Gain is not godliness. Contentment with godliness is great gain. And it is contentment with God. That is a great reward. And that is only understood when we have God's word in our lives. And I pray we have this understanding. And that here in verses 12 to 14, we have this not only a profitable, a perfect word and profitable word of God, but it's also giving us a purpose, a purposeful direction when we seek after God's own heart through His word. Who can understand this error? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. There is the purpose to be holy. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Purpose to live a holy, clean life, a righteous life, a godly life. Let them not have dominion over me, then shall I be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Our desire to live a life pleasing to the Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So when we are following after God's own heart, even the words that will come out from our mouth, even the meditation of our heart, we seek after the Lord that it is acceptable unto Him. Sometimes we just neglect all these things because, you know, the meditation of our heart, nobody can see this, what we are feeling, what we are thinking, what we are desiring, how we hate, how we... There is this one member in True Life who says, well, I am a Christian and I follow God and I believe in the Word of God, but there is one thing that I cannot do. I cannot forgive this person. It's difficult for me to really forgive him because, you know, he done this thing against me and it's really difficult for me to forget. So I always encourage him to read God's word, understand how God has forgiven you, and pray to the Lord to help you and grant you the grace to forgive. Let the words of my mouth, even the meditation of my heart, hidden. Nobody can see your heart. Nobody can see what you are thinking. Nobody can see what you are feeling. Nobody can see what is your emotion, your desires in life. But even in these unseen things in life, the psalmist says, let it be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Let it be acceptable. So when we are following after God's own heart, then our lives directed from the Word of God, which we understand is perfect, as profitable, there is a purpose. Not just to pursue after God's own heart because we want success, we want riches, we want wealth. No, we want to follow after God's own heart because we want to be holy and righteous and pleasing and acceptable in His sight. And God's word can help us to do this. We see in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. This is a familiar verse to all of us. And two verses, 16 and 17. And it describes the perfection of the scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now take note, it says, this is profitable. It is useful, it is beneficial, it is fruitful, it can enable us to live a life that is to the fullest, to the glory of God. And he says here, it is profitable for doctrine, for teaching. The word doctrine here is teaching. So when we are taught the way, when we go for a certain way, we are taught we have to follow this way. But there are times that we go astray. And so when we go astray, the Word of God also gives us reproof. And He warns and calls us and tells us, that's not the right way. You have gone to another way. You have turned to the left or to turn to the side. And you don't do this. It is not according to God's doctrine, that God's teaching. So reproof. There is always this warning. There is always this rebuke. God will tell us through His Word that we have wronged, we have done a transgression from Him, we are mistaken, we sin against Him. God's Word will tell us all this. That's why it's important to take heed of God's Word, because it is the Word that gives us the understanding the moment that we go astray. Without the Word of God, we think we just rely on our own. We think we are always in the right way. But God will give us reproof. But not only that God will warn us and tells us that we are in the wrong way, God also will correct us. And the word correction here will tell us how to go back to the right path. He will not just tell us you are in your own way, or wrong way, or you are in another way. He will tell us this way towards the right lane, or towards the right path. So God will give us the correction. He will reprove us, but He will correct us. And after we are back into the right way, God will instruct us again, that you will continue to go on with that right path. So this is how good God is in giving us His Word. And that's why we trust and we rely that this instruction, this correction and this reproof and this doctrine are perfect, because if these are changing, then how can we be sure that we are truly following and going to or treading to a right way or the right path? We trust that this is what God has in store for us. It's a doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and it is what? For righteousness, for holiness, for a life that is godly, for a life that will make us profitable in Him. So with God's Word, which is perfect, profitable, and it has a purpose, we have this understanding that we are guided always in obeying and keeping the path that is after God's own heart. We will not be scared whether am I still following or after the heart of God, or am I still following the will of God, the purpose of God, or the plan of God. Look into the Scriptures. The Bible will tell us where we are, whether we are still in the path of that doctrine, or we are going another way and we are reproved by God, or we are going back to the right way because we are corrected by God, or we are under instruction to continue on once we are returning to the right path. Go back to the Bible, to the Scriptures. That's the reason why the Lord gave us these Scriptures for us. And the enemy will try to deceive us by introducing all these false and deletions and additions of words and phrases and doctrines into the Bible. That's why we must have the right source of the Word of God. It must be based on what the Lord has given us in His perfect original Scripture in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And that's the reason why we stick on these original languages. It's not just for English languages that we stick on the original Word. And that's why we thank God that we are our preachers in FEBC are taught of the original languages, because even in King James there are words that we cannot explain well without reading through or going back into its original sense. And so with Chinese also. So we thank the Lord for this perfect Word that He preserved for us. Not the King James, but the original text that He has given to us through these original languages. So with this Word that will lead us, that will guide us, that will strengthen us, that will show us the way, we are assured that we can follow God's own heart. And that is important for us to really be assured that there is a standard, there is a written revelation how to follow after God's own heart. Because there are many people who think that we can just follow God's own heart by their own ideas, by their own emotions, their own, they call themselves enlightenment. We have this enlightenment. Because I somehow went to a wilderness for a few weeks and then meditate there. And so there comes this enlightenment. And this enlightenment shows me that this is the way that I must do. There is no such thing that we can get it somewhere from outside or from whatever meditation or dreams or visions. The Word of God is perfect, it is clear, it is revealed to us, and we can trust and we can rely on it if we desire to follow after God's own heart. So remember, if we desire to follow God's own heart, the only standard basis by which we can continually and perfectly follow His will, His purpose for our life, His plan for our life, is through God's Word. Through God's Word. That's why we have to go back and read this Word. And again, I have to emphasize, not just reading, not just studying, but let it impact your life, change your life, apply these words into our lives. And if we are doing this, we are sure that we are after the heart of God, because everything that is written in this book is leading us to follow God's will, God's plan for us. So we thank the Lord that this is a perfect gift that we can get from Him. Yes, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is that living Word, but we have also this written Word that we can rely on. And I pray we have this love for the Word of God, the love for the Bible that is in our hearts. Because of today's media, today's availability of the Bible, in our cell phones, whatever gadgets that we have, sometimes we lost this desire and love for the Word of God. It's so common. And if you compare it in those days where they have to copy, and it takes a year to write even the New Testament or copy the New Testament, we value so much God's Word. You're ready to give everything of their own treasures just to buy or to possess one written Word of God. But today, since we have all this, sometimes freely given and freely downloaded, we lost that value or sense of giving value to God's Word. It's so common and so available that we don't even have the desire to love and read it and meditate upon it. Now David gives us this understanding of how he relied on the Word of God. In 1 Chronicles chapter 13, we see that he also experienced times where he went astray. You know, he has this desire. His desire was to follow God's own heart. And so in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, he wanted to bring back the ark, or to bring the ark into Jerusalem. And because here in chapter 13 verse 1, he just consulted the captains of thousands and hundreds. You know, you can think of, you know, they are think tank during the time, and they must be wise people, they must be reliable people. And they think, and he thought, I can get good advice from them. So he consulted with captains of thousands and hundreds, and with every leader. Well, there must be a good consensus, because in the multitude of these councils there is wisdom. But even though you have the multitude of councils, without the Word of God there is no wisdom. And here, Well, he was told that we can carry back the ark, but the idea was not followed accordingly to God's word. In verse 7, we know that he carried the ark of God in a new cart. We always have the desire to have something new, to add something out of man's idea, to add something out of this modern concept of how to bring people into the church, of how to encourage people to serve God, or how to bring people to be active in the work of the Lord. We always have this new thing. And somehow it was shown also in the life of David. He thought, well, this is something that that is suggested by the captains, and therefore can follow this. They have a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and then when they come, there was we know of how Uzzah was struck. And in verse 9 and 10, we can read that, and when they came unto the threshing floor of Chidon, or Kidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. His idea, his purpose, his desire was to save and to keep the ark of God, to not fall into the ground. But the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. That was not the way. He was not supposed to be there. He was not supposed to be carrying or near the ark. He should not be touching that ark, because there was already a command of God, according to His word, how this ark should be carried. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and He smote him, because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. You see, even though how sincere we are, how honest we are, how we think we are following after God's own heart, if we are not following Him according to His word, it's not acceptable to God. And that's how we think of this new introduction of some methods in the church. They are sincere. We want to have this, we want to bring these young people into the church, but we cannot bring them in if we just tell them we will have Bible study. No, they will not come. If you offer this to secondary schools, if you go there and you will say, oh, please come, we will have Bible studies, they will just immediately turn around and go to their own ways. But if you bring in some kind of attraction, you know, we'll do this, we have some games, we have some fun, we have some food, we have some kind of, you know, attraction that would bring them in. They are sincere. You cannot question their sincerity to bring people into the church or into the fellowship. The problem is their sincerity is not what is in the heart of God. The heart of God is to obey and keep His word. And that's how David realized we must follow the word of God. In chapter 15, in 1 Chronicles chapter 15. Now, David realized, if we are truly sincere in obeying and following God's heart, or we are after God's own heart, we must keep and obey His instruction, His law, His word. And David made him the house in the city of David, and prepared a place for the ark of God, and pitched it for it a tent. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto Him forever. Where did he get this understanding? From the law of Moses. Went back to the law of Moses. This is what Moses told us. This is how we should carry the ark. Only the Levites. And if we follow him, then God was with them. Indeed, the ark was brought back into Jerusalem. There are so many sincere people. Sincere in their desire to bring souls. Sincere in their desire to devote their lives for God. Sincere in their service for the Lord. But if they are not following the word of God, sincerity is still against the heart of God. If we are after God's own heart, it must be based on His word. There is nothing in His word that would keep us away from His will and His purposes for our life. It is always God's direction for us to follow Him after His own heart. And that's how important the Word of God is. That's how important the Word of God is in following after God's own heart. And I pray we can appreciate this, because in today's modern world, so many people think that the Bible is irrelevant. Irrelevant because it is ancient, it is old, stories were not applicable to our own culture. The culture of today is different. We are in the modern world, we are in the electronic world, we are in the internet age, we are in the robotic age. This is still talking about, you know, swords and spears and horses. We are now in the age of missiles and rockets. And they said, well, this is irrelevant. And for young people, they may think this as just something of an old literature that they have to study. But please, we must understand, if you want to follow God's own heart, it is only through His Word. Nothing else. There is always this guide and instruction from the Lord how we must follow His heart, His will in our lives. And it is only through this perfect scripture that He has given us. Now we should take it, love it, study it, apply it in our lives. And not only in our age, but also pass it on to share it to others in the next generation. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy word. We thank Thee, O God, that this is Thy perfect revelation of Thy heart, of Thy will, of Thy purpose, of Thy plan, of Thy decree unto us. Help us, Lord, to love Thy word. For there are many things in this world that kept us away from Thy word. So many entertainments, so many videos, so many things that keep us away from reading and applying Thy words into our lives. Help us, Lord, as believers who desire to follow after Thine own heart. We pray, Father, may You kindle again this love and desire to devote ourselves, to read Thy words, that we may know how to please Thee and be acceptable unto Thee. For there is nothing else in this world that would direct us and instruct us of how we can be pleasing before Thine eyes, except through Thy holy and precious word. So, Father, we pray that may You help us, may You grant us the understanding, and help us, Lord, to do it and apply this in our lives. We pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.